We have a story that's so important. Linda Moulton Howe is going to devote the first 3.5 hours of her report tonight to it. And we'll get right with it with her in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. John Podesta was working with the Clintons for years. He is Hillary Clinton's campaign manager. And during this entire episode, incredible things have happened with WikiLeaks. Let's bring in investigative reporter Linda Moulton Howe from earthfiles.com, who she's going to devote 3.5 hours tonight to this amazing story. Hey, Linda.
Yeah, thank you, George. This really is something, and it's coming like dripping from WikiLeaks.
Yeah.
And on Sunday, October 16th, 2016, The Washington Times, at least some newspaper, has been paying attention to the what we'll call the Podesta UFO ET category. And the Washington Times headline, quote, "Leaked Podesta emails encourage UFO buffs seeking declassification in a Clinton administration," close quote. And by that date, Julian Assange's WikiLeaks had released thousands of hacked emails addressed to John Podesta, including several about finally opening up the government's UFO and ET files. And remember, these are emails that were private, and we're only having a glimpse now for the first time into what has been happening behind the matrix. John Podesta served as chief of staff in the second Bill Clinton administration. In 2003, Podesta founded the Center for American Progress. That's a liberal think tank in Washington, D.C. Later, he was White House counselor to President Barack Obama, overseeing climate change and energy policy. And that job began in December 2013 until he resigned 2 years later in February 2015 to become the chairman of Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign. Now, Podesta thinks Americans are owed the truth from their government. Podesta's passion for truth about UFOs was reflected in an early morning tweet that he sent the day that he left the Obama administration to run Hillary's campaign. The tweet said, quote, "Finally, my biggest failure of 2014, once again not securing the disclosure of the UFO files, hashtag, the truth is still out there," close quote. And he copied his tweet to New York Times columnist Maureen Dowd. 3 months later, in December 2015, reporter Damon Steer from the New Hampshire's Conway Daily Sun asked Hillary about UFOs, and she answered, quote, "Yes, I'm going to get to the bottom of it. I think we may have been visited already. We don't know for sure," close quote. Then Hillary added that her campaign manager, John Podesta, quote, "has made me personally pledge we are going to get the UFO information out one way or another. Maybe we could have, like, a task force to go to Area 51 in Nevada," close quote. From John Podesta's hacked emails, we see that at the first of this year, in January 2016, Tom DeLonge was organizing a meeting to introduce Podesta to at least three of his military and aerospace advisors that Tom has been working with to reach millennials about what is really behind UFOs and ETs. Tom, who played guitar and sang with the rock band Blink 182 in the 1990s, is now producing books, documentaries, and a Hollywood feature film about what he is learning from his UFO advisors. The hacked Podesta emails show that three of Tom DeLonge's advisors are, one, Major General William N. McCasland, who was commander of the Air Force Research Lab at Wright-Patterson for 2.5 years, from May 2011 until October 2013. After he retired from the Air Force on October 1, 2013, he became director of technology for an Albuquerque, New Mexico company, Applied Technology Associates. ATA specializes in real-time processing systems for ground, air, and space applications. A second advisor is Robert F. Weiss, Executive Vice President and General Manager of Advanced Development Programs at the famous Skunk Works in Lockheed Martin Aeronautics. And a third advisor is U.S. Air Force Major General Michael Carey, retired after serving as Special Assistant to the Commander of the U.S. Air Force Space Command. Keeping track of the steady stream of hacked John Podesta emails is Grant Cameron from Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. Grant produces the excellent website presidentialufo.com and has written four books about UFOs, including his latest this year entitled The Clinton UFO Storybook, Extraterrestrial Politics in the White House. Grant and I have been talking about the WikiLeaks hacked Podesta emails, and tonight we begin with the January 25th, 2016 meeting that John Podesta hosted in Washington in a Google Hangout to meet the two generals and head of Lockheed Skunk Works. And this is from Tom DeLong's list of advisors. Here now from Winnipeg, Canada, is Grant Cameron.
And the reason John Podesta hosted him is that Tom DeLong made his pitch, I can get this message to the young people. I've got some of my people that are working on this disclosure-type project, and I want them to meet you. And because the WikiLeaks leaked it, we have the names of these people that attended this meeting, along with Tom DeLong, Podesta's assistant, and John Podesta himself. But the initial setup of this was that Tom DeLong, in an interview, talks about the fact that he contacted John Podesta. And DeLong said he talked to John on the phone, and he said there was silence, and John listened to his pitch, and when it was all over, John didn't say anything. John just said, well, I'm kind of busy. Give me a call in a couple of months. And Tom DeLong said he believed that he had totally messed it up, had no intention of phoning John Podesta back. And he said 2 months later, suddenly there was this flurry of emails in my box from John Podesta. And these are the emails we have not seen yet. These are the ones that are coming. And there's really nothing they can do to stop them because WikiLeaks has leaked these and they've blocked the access to the guy from WikiLeaks, right?
Julian Assange.
They've blocked his internet access, but they've got a number of sites. So the emails are still leaking, even after they cut off his internet access. So there's nothing they can do to stop these emails. So Tom DeLong goes to Washington. He does an interview with John Podesta, and the trailer that has part of that interview was put up by Tom DeLong on his site, was taken down, but it was recovered by somebody and is now floating around the internet so people can look at it. And it's in that interview where Podesta says there are things that happen deep in the bowels of the Pentagon, and he starts talking about confirming that these things are actually going on, this type of UFO back engineering type stuff. He does this interview with John Podesta, and then is this setup meeting where he says, I've got these guys I want you to meet. So the meeting is from 10:30 to 11:30 on January 25th, 2016. And later in that day, General McCasland, I guess in the meeting, is playing skeptic. So Tom DeLong writes an email to John Podesta, which is part of these leaks. And DeLong says, McCasland, saying he's a skeptic, but he's not a skeptic. He's actually the guy who's helping me set this thing up.
Grant, let me read the hacked WikiLeaks email, subject General McCasland. He mentioned he's a skeptic. He's not. I've been working with him for 4 months. I just got done giving him a 4-hour presentation on the entire project a few weeks ago. Trust me, the advice is already has been happening on how to do all this. He just has to say that out loud. But he is very, very aware, as he was in charge of all of this stuff, meaning UFOs, ETs, everything in his job at Wright-Patterson. When Roswell crashed, he's referring to the early July 1947 crashes, they shipped it to the laboratory at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. General McCasland was in charge of that exact laboratory up to a couple of years ago. He not only knows what I'm trying to achieve, he helped assemble my advisory team. He's a very important man. Best, Tom DeLong to John Podesta.
Yes. So this meeting does take place with these very high-level people. And then there's an email that fits into that. This is a follow-up email from Tom DeLonge to John Podesta, dated February 22, 2016. I'll read what it says. Mr. Weiss, who was one of the members of the Google Hangout meeting with John Podesta, and he's basically the head of Lockheed Skunk Works. Mr. Weiss from Lockheed Skunk Works just emailed me asking if there were any updates. I'm not expecting much, but if there's anything I can tell him and the general, however small, I would like to respectfully pass it along. Which indicates to me that during that Google Hangout meeting with these three high-level people, John Podesta made some sort of promise to look into something or to check something, and a month later, Tom DeLonge phones him back and says, Weiss wants to know, how's it going? Like, are there any updates? As if this process is ongoing. So you have this situation where John is playing this game with Tom DeLonge. Podesta has this thing going with Hillary Clinton, where Hillary Clinton is making this promise that she's going to get something. I don't know about Tom DeLonge's situation, but the people I know that are involved in this, and from what I've heard, as of last weekend, it's a green light. Nothing has changed by these emails. You would think, because of this leak, that it's all been shut down. But no, it's still a go, and we are hearing January, as if once Hillary's elected, something is going to happen.
Well, what would John Podesta and Hillary Clinton be able to say about extraterrestrial intelligence?
Well, there's where I really don't know, and I have my doubts that they can pull this off, because I've maintained for years that this is a bomb ready to go off. As soon as you admit that they're here, then the cattle mutilations comes up, the abductions come up, all these kind of things that they may not have the answers to come up, and they are confronted with all sorts of stuff that makes it very, very complex. It does appear they're going down this road. And the only thing, as I said before, that I can think of is this idea of the core story. We've been visited. There was a crash. We did some back engineering and try to get away with that.
But you can't get away with that.
I totally agree with you. This could get ugly. And that's always going to be the case, whether it happens now or 100 years from now. There's going to be some ugly moments of meltdown when people realize they've been had, that they've been lied to, and that there's this stuff going on. I mean, even just the cattle mutilations, if you've got like 10,000 cattle mutilations in the United States, you're looking at ranchers who are going to be furious. You mean you knew all along that this was going on, and you didn't do anything, and you lied to us? I mean, lawsuits galore. I agree, this could get really, really ugly. All I'm saying is I am almost thoroughly convinced that they are going down this road for whatever they're going to do, and it has to be some sort of limited hangout thing that they're going to do.
But doesn't this imply, Grant, that there is some kind of other pressure, something else? They have some other information now about something at the ETI, extraterrestrial intelligence level. Something must be coming or is out there, or there are ultimatums, or something is occurring that is pushing us to get to Mars and to open up the truth that we're not alone in this universe?
It's speculation, but I would not rule that out, that there's something behind the scenes that is forcing it. The way I've always described it is this is John Podesta's initiative. This is not Hillary Clinton. She has nothing to do with this. She's just a pawn. She's a puppet. She's gone along with this. It's John Podesta's. And he's a Madison guy. He's into open government. There may be something behind the scenes forcing their hand. And this is what I'm hearing from the third group, is that something is going to happen in January.
Who is the third group?
Okay, the third group is more of a positive. I know, let's see, how many people would I know? Maybe six or seven people in this group. And these are NASA, CIA, possibly White House. It's not a group I'm involved with. I know some of the people in the group. I've heard this chatter for more than a year. And there's two that are crossovers that I know of. One is the head, they call him the big man. He's a civilian. One is going to be a shocker when people find out one of these people is a crossover. And I've talked to two of them about what's going on. What I would say is what Tom DeLonge says about his group, that when you know these people, you realize there's no evil government. These people are ordinary people that when you meet them, you could trust them. They come to birthday parties. They are just guys who are doing their job, and they're doing it to the best of their ability. And I think Tom DeLonge says the same thing, that this situation is way more complex than people think it is. It is not just aliens flying around in little metal ships with an anti-gravity engine. This is very, very complex. Everybody is saying the same thing. And the other thing that seems to cross over is there is a plan, especially the third group. This is not something they're trying to figure out. They have a plan for what they're going to do. And when you look at John Podesta's moves, that's what it looks like. John Podesta, he does this, he does this, he does this, as if he's following a pattern. Things have intensified. Something is in the works. To me, it looks like it's full speed ahead, that something is about to happen, but I have no idea what it is, except that they want this story out. To me, there's always the repercussions of what happens. Does the stock market melt down? Do people start to panic? Do people want to hang the government for what's happened? Because it's the old story. Once you spill the milk, how do you put it back in the glass? But from what I'm hearing, that doesn't seem to be a concern. At one point, I was told, we want this out, but we don't want the government's fingerprints on it. I heard that last year. And I said, well, good luck to that. I mean, how do you leak it without the government's fingerprints on it? I mean, it's always going to come back to everybody pointing their finger at the government.
What a great story, Linda.
Yes, it is, and much more to come in the next 2.5 hours. And I think that one of the most important pieces to stress with our audience right now is that this is the first time that it's beginning to come into focus for Grant, for me, and a few others, that there are at least three, we'll call them political military units here, that are all aimed at the same thing, somehow finally opening up the truth on UFOs and ETs, at least in some way. And the fact that there are three different groups, with Hillary and Podesta being a unit that has been out there for some time, and then Tom DeLonge's group that includes really heavy-duty generals and the head of Skunk Works, and then this third group that is more mysterious that Grant has a connection to. That makes this even more interesting. And with two major generals and the head of Lockheed Skunk Works meeting with John Podesta to talk about how to open up UFO and ET realities to the public, why aren't the so-called mainstream media digging into all of this, George? It's a revolutionary truth. We're not alone in the universe. And there are ET eyes, as astronaut Edgar Mitchell called the extraterrestrial intelligences, which government insiders say have been interacting with Earth for thousands, millions of years. And more about these issues with Grant Cameron after this break.
Mainstream media, Linda, they're more interested in groping and stories like that.
And I think this is the most exciting thing going on anywhere on the planet right now.
I just hope that regardless of who gets elected, we get to the bottom of this one way or another. Yeah,
the bottom is we're not alone in the universe and there's an alien presence on Earth.
We're going to find out. Linda Moulton Howe, earthfiles.com. That is her website. And you can email her with stories and tips and ideas at earthfiles@earthfiles.com. And we reserve the last hour of the program for what I call conversations with Linda, giving you the opportunity to call in and not only ask her questions about some of the stories you're hearing tonight, but perhaps other stories that she's been working on, too. She is an award-winning television producer, investigative reporter, author. Several of her books include An Alien Harvest, Glimpses of Other Realities, Mysterious Lights and Crop Circles. She's got some DVDs out. She does it all, and we'll be back with more in a moment. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. We're talking with Linda Moulton Howe about the WikiLeaks dump of hacked John Podesta's emails, confirming military and aerospace authorities involved in communications between Podesta and others about opening up the U.S. government's UFO and ET files. Here's Linda with part 2 of 3. Hi, Linda. Go ahead.
Thank you, George. Well, since the WikiLeaks dump of John Podesta's email started at the beginning of October, There has been a lot of political reporting about the emails related to Hillary Clinton, but not about the significant development of two U.S. Air Force generals and the head of Lockheed Skunk Works meeting in a Google Hangout with John Podesta and Tom DeLong on January 25th this year. And what we're going to do now is pick up on the media seeming to ignore what should be a headline about generals and Skunk Works working with Hillary Clinton's campaign manager. Here now, again, joining us is Grant Cameron from Winnipeg, Canada.
Grant, the third presidential debate with Hillary Clinton was on October 19th, and there had been several days of WikiLeaks Podesta emails by then, including Tom DeLong's email about General McCasland and email addresses for U.S. Air Force Major General Michael Carey and Robert Weiss, head of Lockheed Skunk Works. Why do you think the UFO link to high-ranking military and aerospace people was not reported by the so-called mainstream media? And if Podesta has been pushing reporters for over a year to ask Hillary about aliens, why do you think none of this got into the debate questions?
Because the media still doesn't take it seriously. The media still thinks it's a joke. They really don't realize that they've been had. So people aren't really dealing with it. They still think it's kind of a kooky issue. There's a famous comedian who has an online show, and he put out the top 10 subjects in the WikiLeaks Podesta leaks. He has UFOs as number 10. He has Hillary Clinton's daughter being a brat as number 8. And the person that sent it to me, I said, are you serious? You're going to tell me that Hillary Clinton's daughter is a spoiled brat is more important than the UFO thing? But that's how they look at it. It's really not that important. It's more interesting what John Podesta said about the Catholics or the blacks. That seems to get the headlines. People just aren't taking it that seriously. Most of the stuff that I have, and I put it on my Facebook site, I put the latest email leak and what it means, like who these people are and why this is a significant email. I download this stuff to all the reporters who have done stories on the UFO angle to the WikiLeaks dump. But they haven't followed up on the generals. They haven't followed up on this thing where Podesta was going to go to the president. None of them have picked up on it yet. Most of the stories are about Trump. I said the media is still asleep. And Billy Cox came out and said, for the record, I emailed them all. He emailed all the generals. He emailed Weiss at Skunk Works. And Billy Cox asked them to comment on being in this Google Hangout. And they've all, of course, they're trying to wait this thing out. Just stay quiet, don't say anything. The media will go back to sleep. But they will come when the New York Times and the Washington Post realize that they've been had, and they decide that they're going to put 6 reporters on the story. They're going to talk to their high-level sources.
Well, on October 16th, 2016, at least the Sunday edition of the Washington Times had this article, headline, Leaked Podesta Emails Encourage UFO Buff Seeking Declassification in a Clinton Administration. And it lays out some of the WikiLeaks John Podesta hacked emails. One dated January 18th, 2015, is from Edgar Mitchell to John Podesta asking with urgency for a meeting after Podesta leaves the White House in a couple of weeks to become Hillary's campaign manager. Dr. Mitchell wrote to Podesta, quote, "It is urgent that we agree on a date and time to meet to discuss disclosure and Zero Point Energy. My Catholic colleague Terry Mansfield will be there too to bring us up to date on the Vatican's awareness of ETIs, which is extraterrestrial intelligence." Then by August 18th, 2015, Dr. Mitchell wrote in another hacked email, quote, "Because the war in space race is heating up, I felt you should be aware of several factors as you and I schedule our Skype talk. Remember our nonviolent ETI from the contiguous universe are helping us bring zero-point energy to Earth. They will not tolerate any forms of military violence on Earth or in space." Close quote. Grant, by contiguous universe, do you think he means a parallel universe or another dimension?
I'm not too sure. Contiguous to me always meant that it was sort of like the non-local thing. He had a lot of contacts in the scientific community who were big into the consciousness, big into how does reality actually work and the whole holographic universe idea. The bottom line to this whole thing is consciousness. That's how they fly the ships. That's how they move from one point to another point in space. He may have meant something more, so it's hard to say. A lot of stories, Wall Street Journal, USA Today, they all ran with the story of Edgar Mitchell. I don't think any of them have touched the story of the generals, which is the more dramatic story, that high-level military officials sat down with the former chief of staff for Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton's campaign manager and the guy who set up Barack Obama's cabinet and was an advisor to Barack Obama, and they had a meeting about UFO disclosure. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. That's what that meeting was about. I would predict that you have not even seen anything close to the emails that deal with UFOs and John Podesta.
What you're expecting is that if Julian Assange has managed to get another way to keep putting these hacked John Podesta emails out from now until November 8th and maybe even beyond, that you expect there's going to be even more emails that focus on John Podesta organizing with people about how to open up the UFO story for real.
Yeah, or agreeing to be part of this, like with the Tom DeLonge, or if he answers Robert Weiss's email, where Robert Weiss wants an update. I mean, if Podesta provides some sort of update, tell Weiss this or tell Weiss that, and it has to do with UFO disclosure, that's going to be very dramatic. I mean, there's so many things. Or with the Hillary, like when Hillary first gets asked about UFOs, you saw the email where they were very upset when she didn't get asked about UFOs. You can imagine what the emails are going to look like. When Podesta planned this for a whole year, he sets up this thing and he asks reporters to ask her about the aliens, ask her about the aliens. And then when they finally ask about the aliens, you can imagine what that email is going to look like. All the events that have happened, we haven't seen any of the John Podesta emails reacting to any of the big UFO events that have happened. For example, even the one in May of this year where these three very direct questions are asked by these White House press people inside the White House demanding answers to UFO. I mean, if he reacted to that kind of stuff where there was correspondence between him and somebody else about what this meant and what Obama thought, so many events have happened in the UFO front in the last year, and we have not seen in these WikiLeaks emails yet any of John Podesta's reaction to these events. We're seeing all sorts of stuff that we didn't even know about, like this meeting in January of 2016. We didn't know that happened, but there's so many other things that I think are going to be very dramatic.
Grant, which story specifically do they want out if there are three different groups, perhaps with three different intents? What implications have you gained from the one you refer to as somebody who would shock us if we knew who it was, the big man? Have you gotten any insights about what they would be releasing as the truth about other life in this universe? Specifically, what is the alien presence on this planet? What does it do? What does it want? And why is it that since World War II, our government has chosen not to tell the American people the truth?
Okay, well, there'd be three different views, depending which camp you're talking to. I mean, the third group is very sort of like Edgar Mitchell type, positive. It's more spiritual. It's more than aliens. Consciousness is the basis of this thing. That would be their take. If you take a look at Tom DeLonge, his is this very negative view, that this is bad news, that you know aliens are giving different religions different weapons and having them fight with each other.
And the first group is Podesta and Hillary?
Yeah. They've got all the intelligence sources, they've got all the money, and they're going to have the best answer of what the intelligence is behind this phenomena. And it almost seems like it's more of a sort of a straight core story that we are being visited by extraterrestrials. There's been a crash. We've back-engineered some of this stuff, and we're doing the best we can.
The problem is that governments are not trusted today, and that anything that our government would release, a large part of the population wouldn't trust as being true.
Except they will come with documentation. It will be the official, whether it's Hillary making an announcement. Hillary's already made the disclosure. We may already have been visited. That's the first high-level official ever to say that. It's fine for someone to say, I believe there's life in outer space, there's microbes on Mars or whatever. It's another thing to say, they're here. That's big step. And Hillary has actually hinted that. They may already be here. And what I'm hearing from the other two camps is what I sort of believe. It's the Thomas Edison thing. We don't understand 0.001% about anything. This is so far beyond anything that we can imagine. This has got to do with if you go to Edgar Mitchell, this whole idea of you have two different laws in the universe. You either have Newtonian physics, that we are separate, that there are separate particles in a random universe floating around and banging into each other, or you have the dual slit experiment where a particle does not appear in time and space until there's an observer. And that's the whole idea that consciousness is the ground of all being. This is what it's about. It's this really, really complex scenario where we really don't know what's going on at all. We're just getting little glimpses.
We are just getting the glimpses, Linda, aren't we?
Yes, but boy, I feel that we're on the verge here of something really important cracking open. And if January is going to begin, we have got quite a horse to ride here. And on October 25th, after that morning's WikiLeaks Podesta email dump, Grant Cameron sent me a new one dated March 6, 2015, from Bob Fish, or Robert Fish, to John Podesta. Now, Mr. Fish wrote the 2009 book. It was entitled Hornet Plus 3, The Story of the Apollo 11 Recovery. And at my website, earthfiles.com, in my reports that go with what you're hearing tonight in these interviews, I show the photograph of that Hornet that was the ship, and they had to put the astronauts in a special unit, and that was called Hornet Plus 3. Now, Grant explained that after Podesta made his now infamous tweet that his biggest disappointment of 2014 was not getting disclosure of the UFO files, that Mr. Fish wrote to Podesta about some UFO-related information from his career. And Fish said, quote, I did work with Fort Meade, that's NSA, on several classified communication projects, including President Reagan's dedication of the new headquarters building in September 1986 when I was a contractor to WHCA, that's the White House Communications Agency military unit. And then he goes on to describe a lunch conversation that he had with a senior U.S. Air Force non-commissioned officer in the top-secret, sensitive, compartmented building cafeteria out in California in El Segundo. The Air Force NCO had worked for Project Blue Book in the 1970s after it had officially disbanded, which underscores everything that I have ever been told by people who really have information. There always were at least two Project Blue Books. One was for the public to cover the real Project Blue Book that Anonymous and others were working on, in which they were even looking at autopsy footage of extraterrestrial biological entities that were in surgery units at Wright-Patterson and other really classified areas. And that there was electronic, he had met this electronic intelligence technician who flew in RC-135s from MacDill Air Force Base in Florida to snoop around radar and other targets in Cuba. And he said, Fish said to John Podesta, quote, this guy, this ELINT, this electronic intelligence tech, said there were times when they were diverted from these missions to track UFOs off the east coast of Florida. His claim was the UFOs had a landing and takeoff spot in the ocean east of Miami. The email says north of Bermuda. That doesn't make sense unless you are drawing on the ocean in a hypotenuse of a triangle. And that would mean you go out east of Miami and you would hit a certain latitude, longitude, and then you would go north. That's possibly what he means. This guy claims that there was a specific electronic signature frequency emanating from the UFOs when they were going into or coming out of the water, so they were easy to track. on several occasions, they filmed the UFO as it transitioned from water to air or vice versa, meaning going from the air down into the water. And Fish concluded in his email to John Podesta, quote, that high-quality film of UFOs is out there somewhere, close quote. I think this is amazing, George, because we're now getting into discussions of people who have had very high clearances. These are not idle rumors. This is the real stuff. And this is early morning of 28th now. But there's a lot more to go. The election is until November 8th, and Julian Assange has promised that there would be more and more and more dumps all the way up to November 8th and maybe after.
I think there will be. Now, in our part three, you have done and spent most of your career investigating mutilations of animals, abductions of humans. It continues. You've looked at this in part three. Anything that just staggered you, Linda?
Well, we do get.
I mean, you've done it all.
We get into a heavy duty discussion about, are we dealing with friendlies, unfriendlies, good guys, bad guys? Because the contradictions are huge. If Edgar Mitchell and that group were right, why would there be worldwide animal mutilations and human abductions going on today, and they've been going on for decades in the 20th to the 21st century, but other insiders have told me for quite a long time, we're dealing with an alien presence that's been collecting genetic material from this planet for millions of years and uses it like a laboratory, and that's the context in which we get into quite a discussion, Grant and I, in part three.
All right, we're going to do that with Linda Moulton Howe. And Linda, we've got your schedule for the holidays, of course. We're going to move you up, a couple days and then a week?
Yeah, November 17th, and then I think it's December 21st.
All right, we'll look forward to that. You going anywhere special, or you're just going to hang
out? Yes, I'm going to be back in the East Coast from the 22nd on. With family and friends, and we're going to be doing a lot of really interesting and exciting things, and that is such a great place, Philly, to be at Christmas time.
Super. We're going to come back in just a moment with part three of this report, and then wait till you hear the fourth hour report, totally separate, and then, of course, the last hour will be Conversations with Linda.